And Brahma has two fears, so therefore he prays for protection from fall down. The two fall downs that he's afraid of are pride and deviation. So he's praying for protection from these two fall downs. And also he's praying for drisham, or the power of introspection, so that he can create the universe as it was before. So Prabhupada says we should constantly pray for the blessings of the Lord to do our service, and also we should constantly pray for protection from fall down, so we may not fall down due to pride or deviation. And if we do this, Prabhupada said, this is how to become dear to the Lord, by praying in this way. So Brahma is teaching us, he's ahead of our sampradaya, he's teaching us how to pray, and he's teaching us what to pray for, what kind of protection we should pray for, and how to get up early in the morning and wake up the Lord by offering prayers to the Lord. So he's, by his example, he's teaching us. The devotees, by their example, they teach us how to live as devotees in this world. It says in Chaitanya Charitamrita that the devotees, they teach the whole world. Actually, real religious principles, they are found in the behavior of the pure devotees. So Lord Brahma, he's showing us how to do archana, as Srila Prabhupada said. Now, although he sees the Lord in front of him, he is unhappy because he cannot do his service. So he's praying to the Lord, please open your lotus eyes and give me directions how I can serve you. So now he became silent, as if tired from his long penance. And the Lord will give him such an answer that all his dejection will be removed. And he will give mercy to not only to Brahma, but to everyone in this class who hears, who has heard the prayers of Lord Brahma. A very nice benediction we'll get. So here in the first, in the verse we read, verse 26, he says, after observing the source of his appearance, Brahma prayed for his mercy as far as his mind and words would permit him. So what does this mean, as far as his mind and words would permit him? That's how he prayed. Your mind and your words only allow you to go to a certain extent. So what does this mean? Of course, Sankirtan is not here, so he would know the answer. So now we all have to think, yes. What's that? According to one's own realization, we can pray. And? Kata, yeah, okay. That's from Sutta? As far as my realization goes. Same thing, you're confirming in Sanskrit, which he just said. Okay, I thought of another thing. Of course, this is for Brahma, but for us, sometimes our mind won't let us pray for the mercy. We're afraid to pray for the mercy. As far as our mind will let us and our words will permit us to pray for the mercy, we pray. Because sometimes the mercy is very difficult for us to accept, because it means surrender to Krishna. So I also saw that in this verse too. I saw it, how it relates to myself. Sometimes we don't want to pray for the full mercy, at least not all at once. Let it come gradually so that we can take it. So in the purport, Prabhupada says, Brahma's enlightenment in knowledge was due to the Lord sitting within his heart. After being created, Brahma could not ascertain the source of his appearance, but after penance and mental concentration, he could see the source of his birth. Thus he became enlightened through his heart. The spiritual master outside and spiritual master within are both representations of the Lord. Unless one has contact with such bona fide representations, one cannot claim to be a spiritual master. Lord Brahma had no opportunity to take the help of a spiritual master from outside, because at that time Brahma himself was the only creature in the universe. Therefore, on becoming satisfied by the prayers of Brahma, the Lord enlightened him about everything from within. So this is another indication that this whole pastime is taking place within the heart of Brahma. Brahma is the only one now present in the creation. There's nobody outside to enlighten him. So therefore, he's being enlightened from within the heart. So all these benedictions that we're going to hear today, they're coming from the Lord in the heart to Brahma. And that's how Lord Brahma relates to the Lord, as we see even in Krishna Lila. He had to go to the ocean of milk and he had to meditate, and then he got the message from within his heart. So the same principle is acting here in this pastime. Verse 27-28. The Lord saw that Brahma was very anxious about the planning and construction of the different planetary systems and was depressed upon seeing the devastating water. He could understand the intention of Brahma, and thus he spoke in deep, thoughtful words, removing all the illusion that had arisen. So, devotional service is like this. Sometimes we get obstructions to our service. We think they're insurmountable or even fearful. And sometimes Krishna even takes away our service. We think, this is my service. Why is he taking away my service? Because he wants to give us another service, or perhaps because he wants us to look more within and become more introspective about how we're doing our service and how we're relating to him. So Brahma was in this situation. He was depressed. Even Brahma gets depressed. Even the head of Arsampadaya, he got depressed. Vyasadeva got depressed. But this depression is wonderful, because the Lord reciprocates when you get into this mood, this attitude that, oh, what can I do? I'm helpless. And the Lord comes and he helps you. So this was Brahma's feeling, that I cannot do this creation on my own strength. I need help. So we have to follow Brahma when we get into this situation and ask for help from the Lord and pray as Lord Brahma did. So verse 29, the Lord answers, his first answer. Supreme Personality of Godhead then said, O Brahma, O depth of Vedic wisdom, be neither depressed nor anxious about the execution of creation. What you are begging from me has already been granted before. So he's saying that, why are you anxious about getting my benediction? You have my blessings already. It's in your service. And Srila Prabhupada said, this is for us also. And we sometimes get depressed and anxious, how am I going to do this service? But we should know that the blessings are there along with the service. And this is explained by Srila Prabhupada in a very wonderful purport. Prabhupada says, any person authorized by either the Lord or by his bona fide representative is already blessed, as is the work entrusted to him. Of course, the person entrusted with such responsibility should always be aware of his incapability and must always look for the mercy of the Lord for the successful execution of his duty. One should not be puffed up because he is entrusted with certain executive work. So this is, again, Prabhupada is warning us that, okay, you may think, wow, I got the blessing, I can do my service, but then immediately, if you start thinking like that, then it's a fall down. Then you're falling down due to pride. Yes, I got the blessing. He didn't get the blessing. Everybody has the blessing. It's just a matter of how receptive we are. Whoops. Okay, we have to turn that back over to the next one. Yeah, it's coming up. It's just how receptive. Yeah, just next. No, the other way. This one. Yeah. There we go. How to get the mercy. We'll hear about that in the next verse. So, Prabhupada says, fortunate is he who is so entrusted, and if he is always fixed in the sense of being subordinate to the will of the Supreme, he is sure to come out successful in the discharge of his work. Can anybody tell me a verse that expresses this attitude of the devotee, that I simply want to be an instrument, or can be from scripture, it can be from anywhere? Yeah. Nimitta matram bhava savi sachin. Okay, that's good. The attitude. Chanadapi sunichena torariva sahishana. This is the attitude of this. If you have this attitude, then you will get the holy name. Krishna will come in the form of the holy name and reveal himself to you. So Prabhupada is saying this, the same thing here. Fortunate is he who is so entrusted. All of us are entrusted, because we're all following Srila Prabhupada. So everyone in this room is entrusted with the service by Srila Prabhupada. So this refers to all of us. All of us are fortunate. We're all entrusted And if he's always fixed in the sense of being subordinate to the will of the Supreme, he's sure to come out successful. So this is our attitude. Whatever Krishna wants, I will do that. Arjuna was entrusted with the work of fighting on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And before he was so entrusted, the Lord had already arranged for his victory. So as Maharaja Puri Prabhu said, nimitta matram vavasavya sachin, I've already put to death, by my arrangement, all these soldiers have been put to death. You simply be an instrument in the fight. So Prabhupada says, but Arjuna was always conscious of his position as subordinate to the Lord. Even when he was ordering Krishna to drive his chariot, he said one word, Achyuta. Achyuta, you please. So Achyuta means that you're the Lord. I know you're the Lord, but please forgive me. You're acting as my servant. Patri, did you have...
Actually, the same famous case of Srila Prabhupada when he came to America and he was sitting, and one person asked him, why are you sitting alone? He said, I'm not alone. Thousands of devotees follow
us. Yes.
So it's not arrange everything, but I am let me dance as you like.
Yeah, so Prabhupada had that attitude. He came to America, he looked at the people, he said, my God, how am I going to deliver these people? There's so much in passion and ignorance. He said, but I have faith in Bhagavatam and the Holy Name. And he quoted Srimad Bhagavatam, the verses 17 to 21 in second chapter of first canto, that yes, by the power of hearing and chanting, the Lord will purify them. He will do it. He had so much faith in the Holy Name and in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And that's all he brought with him to America, was the Holy Name and the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And that was all his faith was on that. And he says, and if you like Krishna, you can make me dance. You can make my words powerful so that they can reach these people. If you hear Prabhupada's early lectures on Bhagavad Gita, you'll see that there's an urgency there, that he's pleading practically with the people. You please take this message. He's pleading and pleading with all the people who are sitting there. And so this was Prabhupada's mood. He was depending upon Krishna. So Prabhupada says, anyone who takes pride in doing responsible work but does not give credit to the Supreme Lord is certainly falsely proud and cannot execute anything nicely. Brahma and persons in the line of his disciplic succession who follow in his footsteps are always successful in the discharge of loving transcendental service to the Supreme Lord. So this is the mentality of the devotee. Prabhupada is giving us, who am I? What can I do? We think actually about our qualities. What are our qualities? What do we have? That actually all we can do is try to be an instrument of Krishna. How to be a perfect instrument? That is the question. So now verses 30 to 43, Lord's mercy is being described. So if anybody asks you a question in class, what is the mercy? How to get the mercy? Here we have it in these verses here. So verse 30, we'll hear how to get the mercy. And verses 31 to 33, step-by-step realization, one who has the mercy. 34 to 35, the benedictions of mercy. 36, some qualifications to know Krishna. 38, what exactly is the mercy? And 39, benedictions for Brahma. 40, benedictions for us. And 41 to 42, the goal. What should we pray for? What should we desire? So this will be given in the next verses that we're going to read. First is verse 30, is how to get the mercy. The Lord is going to tell us, O Brahma, situate yourself in penance and meditation and follow the principles of knowledge to receive my favor. By these actions, you will be able to understand everything from within your heart. So, bhuyastvam tapa atishta vidyam chaiva marashayam. So there's three words here which explain what Brahma must do, what we all must do to get the mercy. In Sanskrit, what are those three words? Tapa, vidyam, marashayam. So we need to do austerities. We need knowledge on the basis, not crazy austerities, but austerities on the basis of knowledge. And most importantly, under the shelter of Krishna, mad ashayam. Tapal vidyam madashayam. This is how to get the mercy. Of course, Prabhupada also told us in a purport previously, personal voluntary endeavor. I think maybe it will come up here actually. Personal endeavor, voluntary endeavor. So here in purport, Prabhupada says, the mercy the Lord bestows upon a particular person engaged in executing the responsible work entrusted unto him is beyond imagination. Beyond imagination. So, what is the example of mercy beyond imagination? Who is the example? Mahavendra Puri. Srila Prabhupada, yes. He is the example of mercy beyond imagination. Who could believe, as you said, he was sitting on the bench all alone and somebody met him in the park. He said, no, there are temples. There are many temples. There are many devotees. It's just a question of time separating, as we will hear about time. So within 10 years, he spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, 14 times at the age of, in his 70s, he was traveling. Yes. Yes. I know. Actually, Prabhupada, when I remember, it was everybody had to go. You know, we were 6 months. Actually, after 2 months, you were expected to know how to lecture. And after, I was on Harinam. I was on Harinam from 10 in the morning till 11 at night. It was one of my first services. That was just one service. I was also typing. But after 2 months of Harinam, then my Sankirtan leader, Giriraj, who was Brahmachari that time, Giriraj Maharaj, he came up to me. He said, okay, now you should, you know, speak to the people. You know, like we would chant and we would stop and we would give a little lecture. And I said, but I only been a devotee 2 months. He said, yeah, you've been a devotee 2 months now, so you should know how to lecture already. So that was the standard. Actually, it was true. I had memorized the whole Gita within 2 months, just being a devotee. That, we didn't have Sanskrit then. We just had English, so it wasn't that hard. But that was expected of the new devotees. And after 6 months, they sent us, my husband and I, they sent us, we said, Satsri Maharaj says, we're sending you to Florida. And that was in Boston. And how he sent us, he put us out on the road with our boxes, which were our suitcases were boxes, and there we were in our yellow sheets, and we had to hitchhike. It was pretty far distance too. So he says, yes, I'm sending you. Mm-hmm. And so that's how we were sent, with nothing except the holy name and a few books. Yeah, and then we went to Florida, and after 1 year, I think one year we were devotees, then we had to go out and start our own temple. After 1 year, we had to know how to cook, we had to know everything. How to preach, do the Sunday feast, go out and distribute books. Yeah, that was Prabhupada's mood. Revolutionary. Because time was of the essence. He only had 10 years, and we had to do as much as possible within those 10 years that Prabhupada was here. Yeah.
It's interesting also to notice that Prabhupada came to Russia with only one book. And he was actually caught.
He was caught in the airport with Bhagavad Gita, yes?
And he gave to one this book and he found one devotee who was Motamudi. He was just speaking in English, broken English.
He found some Russian that could speak English.
Ananda Shanti. So and he just preached for 3 days. He just gave me one Bhagavad Gita, my son became devotee just right. And they started to do better and within 10 years, thousands of temples.
Yes, within 10 years. So just one Russian he found who could speak English. And Prabhupada gave him the full mercy. 3 days instruction nonstop. And from that one person, the Moscow Yatra developed. Yeah, so this is the mercy. Mercy is there. And Prabhupada was very free with the mercy, very freely giving mercy. And we were expected to be happy to get the mercy. We had to take the mercy, actually, because there was no one else to do it. He was depending on us, and he's still depending on us. There's still no one to do it. There's very few. There's only a handful of devotees. And there's only a handful that actually know Krishna or want to take the full mercy of Krishna. There are many who are mixed devotees. So Krishna is looking for those pure devotees. You may still have material desires, but simply if you accept the service of Krishna, then you'll get the blessings to do the service, as Prabhupada says here. So Prabhupada, let's see. Oh yeah. Then Prabhupada says in the purport, this is maybe in the middle, His mercy is received due to our penance and perseverance in executing devotional service. Prabhupada, Krishna is looking again how painstaking we are in our service. And the more painstaking we are, the more mercy we'll get, and the more blessings we'll get to do our service. Brahma was entrusted with the work of creating the planetary systems. The Lord instructed him when he meditated, he would very easily know where and how the planetary systems must be arranged. The directions were to come from within, and there is no necessity for anxiety in that task. Such instructions of Buddha Yoga are directly imparted to the Lord from within, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, the Dhammi Buddha Yogam Tam, as Krishna says in chapter 10. So Prabhupada, I always remember this prayer of Srila Prabhupada to Supaso, and I'll repeat it again. This prayer was written by Srila Prabhupada in 1968 in a letter to Devananda. And Prabhupada says, simply our prayer should be, My dear Krishna, please remind me to always chant your holy name. Please do not put me into forgetfulness. You are sitting within me as Supersoul, so you can put me into forgetfulness or into remembering you. So please do not put me into forgetfulness. Please always remind me to chant. Even if you send me into hell, it doesn't matter. Just so long I can always chant Hare Krishna. So this is, we can pray to Supersoul like this, and we can get instructions from within, from Supersoul. So this is Prabhupada's prayer. So how to get the mercy? Tapa, vidyam, marashayam. These are the key words that the Lord is giving us. Verse 31 to 33, we'll hear what are the realizations we can expect if we get the mercy of Krishna. O Brahma, when you are absorbed in devotional service in the course of your creative activities, you will see me in you and throughout the universe. And you will see that you yourself, the universe, and the living entities are all in me. So how did Lord Brahma see Krishna in himself? Krishna in him. Does anybody know that? Prabhupada doesn't exactly explain that in the purport. It is cited herein by the Lord, during his daytime, Brahma would see him as Lord Krishna. He would appreciate how the Lord expanded himself into all the calves during his childhood at Vrindavan. He would know how Yashoda Mahi saw all the universes and planetary systems within the mouth of Krishna during his playful childhood pastimes. And he would also see there are many millions of Brahmas during the appearance of Lord Krishna in Brahma's daytime. So here we can see how he saw himself in Krishna. It was when Yashoda asked Krishna to open his mouth, and then he saw the whole universal form, including Lord Brahma, in the mouth of. So he saw himself in Krishna's mouth. That's where he saw himself in Krishna. And how he sees Krishna in him, as far as I understand, Brahma's body expands through the universe. So then, if it expands through the universe, expands also through the earthly planets, so he could see Krishna in him. But also as Supersoul, could see Krishna in himself, and that way too. Of course, he was seeing him right now already as Supersoul. Prabhupada says, but all these manifestations of the Lord appearing everywhere in his eternal transcendental forms cannot be understood by anyone but the pure devotees who are always engaged in devotional service to the Lord and are fully absorbed in the Lord. The high qualifications of Brahma are also indicated herein. Verse 32, you will see me in all living entities, as well as all over the universe, just as fire is situated in wood. Only in that state of transcendental vision will you be able to be free from all kinds of illusion. So here's the answer to Brahma's prayer not to fall due to pride, that he will be able to see Krishna in all living entities. So therefore, If he sees Krishna in everyone, then he won't be worried about the bad association, because he was worried about associating with all these lower living entities. But if he will see Krishna in their heart, so therefore he won't be upset, he won't be worried. So Prabhupada says, Brahma prayed, he might not forget his eternal relationship with the Lord during the course of his material activities. In answer to that prayer, the Lord said he should not think of existing without a relationship with his omnipotency. So this reminds me of one of the Chavashloki verses. Yes, the second verse of Chatushloki, that if you see something separate from me, you should know that's Maya. So Brahma was worried to fall down to Maya, but Maya just means that he's seeing something separate from Krishna. So we see something separate from Krishna, then we have a problem. And that's Maya. We see this is not Krishna, this is not Krishna, this is not Krishna. This is not related to Krishna. So therefore, that's Maya. If we're seeing, we have that vision. It's Prabhupada saying. So at the end of the purport, Prabhupada says, since the Lord's potency is distributed everywhere, a pure soul or devotee of the Lord can see everything in relationship with the Lord, and therefore he has no affection for the outer coverings. That pure spiritual conception makes him immune to all contamination of material association. The pure devotee never forgets the touch of the Lord in all circumstances. So now this part is more relationship to the third Chatushloki, and he sees the Lord everywhere in everything. So this is very positive realization that we see Krishna everywhere in everything. So this is how to be free from pride. If you see the Supreme Controller, your Lord everywhere, then how can you be proud? You see that he's the one that's actually doing everything. You see what is your relationship with him. So we have to give up the mood simply of being the enjoyer, and then there's room for Krishna. Remember when Vidura was talking with Uddhava, and there was a Sanskrit word that said Vishvamurti, that they were talking so much about Krishna that they started seeing Krishna everywhere. Vishvamurti. It's not that the form of the universe is Krishna, or Krishna is the form of the universe, but they saw Krishna everywhere in the universe. They were seeing, in the Vishva, they were seeing the Murti of Krishna everywhere. So this is what happens if we talk about Krishna enough. This is Uddhava and Vidura. This is at the end of the fourth chapter of this canto. Somewhere, you just look for Vishvamurti, Sanskrit, and then you'll find it. So if we think that everything is for us, then we fall down. Then we see something separate from Krishna. So these are the realizations that Brahma is going to get. And this particular verse 32 describes supersoul realization. And verse 33 is going to describe a higher realization, and that is Bhagavan realization. When you are free from the conception of gross and subtle bodies, and when your senses are free from all influences of the modes of material nature, you will realize your pure form in my association. At that time, you will be situated in pure consciousness. So this is description of Sarup City. And Prabhupada explains what is the Sarup of the living entity in this purport. Who can say in two words, what is the Sarup of the living entity? What is that? Krishna Das? Yes? What else? Service attitude is actually what Prabhupada... You're right, and she's also right. And Prabhupada says service attitude. So this is really interesting. We're thinking, yes, Krishna Das. What does Krishna Das mean? What does it mean to be Krishna Das? It's a certain attitude that we have. But we see everything in the universe is in the service of Krishna. Everything we see. And this is the realization of Brahma. So if you see everything in relationship to Krishna in the universe, then how can you fall into Maya? There is no Maya for somebody who sees like that. For somebody who sees everything related to Krishna, then there's no Maya. And so Prabhupada says, in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is said, that a person whose only desire is to render transcendental loving service to the Lord is a free person in any condition of material existence. So what is that Sanskrit for that verse? Bhakti Shastri students, you should learn this in Bhakti Shastri. Free person, liberated person. Yes?
Brahma Bhuta.
Okay, that's all right. Any verse, why not? Jiva Mukta Suchate Iha Yasya Haridasye. Jiva Mukta Suchate. So one who is always engaged body, mind and words in the service of Krishna, he's liberated in any condition. You may look at him, you may think, oh, this devotee, he doesn't look liberated to me. But actually, it's not a matter of what you see externally. It's a matter of attitude and consciousness. If he has the right attitude, he's liberated, according to Nectar of Devotion. And he's always engaged in devotional service. That service attitude is the sarup, or real form, of the living entity. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Chaitanya Charitamrita also confirms this statement, declaring the real spiritual form of the living entity is eternal servitorship to the Supreme Lord. The Mayavad school shudders at the thought of a service attitude in the living entity, not knowing that in the transcendental world the service of the Lord is based on transcendental love. So why do the Mayavadis shudder at the thought, and even some non-Mayavadis shudder at the thought of service to the Lord, service attitude? What is so terrible about service attitude that makes them shudder? Nrisinga Devi. Okay, they think, but why is it so terrible? Yeah.
It means they have authority or master.
They have what?
Master.
They have a master.
They're not master.
And they can't be Lord. Okay, that's one reason. Yeah. They're what? They're frustrated. Okay. Oh yeah, because they experienced how bad it is to serve in this world. So they think, no, spiritual life, no service. This is really, yes, Gaia? Okay, they think devotional service is Maya, devotees are crazy, so why should I be crazy? Prabhupada gives a, yes, Patri. Nowhere, a dog who has no master, he's not house dog, he's not street dog, he's nowhere. Anatta, yes. And Prabhupada gave one example, that when you're sick and you're given food to eat, like sick food, just like now I'm eating sick food, I can't have any ghee, I can't have any oil, I can't have any milk, so sick food tastes terrible, no spice, no ghee. So you think, the Mayavada, you may be thinking, oh no, this food is terrible. When I get well, I have to eat. So this is what Prabhupada says there, this is their fear. So here I see, oh, eating is terrible, relationships are terrible. When I get in the spiritual world, means I have to have relationships and I have to serve? Oh no, better just commit suicide, spiritual suicide. This is actually bliss, shanti. Shanti is actually bliss. I don't want to become well like this. And so this is, Prabhupada says, transcendental loving service is never to be compared to the forced service of the material world. And this is the key. The only reason why we're not in the spiritual world is because Krishna is not forcing us to be there. It's not forced. It's voluntary. We have to volunteer to serve Krishna. Asking for Krishna's coming, he's sending his servants. Any volunteers? Come and serve me. So Prabhupada says, in the material world, even if one is under the conception, he is no one's servant. So that's what the Mayavadis. Why should I serve? I'm not anyone's servant. Prabhupada says, still, he's a servant of his senses, under the dictation of the material modes. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said, the mind is the friend, the mind is the enemy. So you have two choices. If you want to serve the mind under the modes, then you have to serve lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness. And if you want to serve super soul, then it is out of love. So if you serve the senses, then you're going to be, it'll be forced service. And there is one acharya, I think Prabhupada Saraswati, he says, I've been serving my senses my whole life, And now I'm tired. But still they won't give me retirement. They won't, who is that? Mahavendra Puri. Oh, you should know. Sanatana Goswami. Okay, we have different opinions from the scholars here. Anyway, some great sadhu said that. And you know, I am old, and still they want me to serve them. I refuse. I will serve Krishna. No more of this forced service of my senses. But people don't see like that. They think, no, this is me. I'm serving this is my pleasure. But actually you're serving some separate thing, separate from you, when you serve your senses. This is the problem. And Krishna, we are part of Krishna, so when we serve Krishna, we're serving ourselves actually, our real self. Prabhupada says, they shudder at the thought of service because they have no knowledge of the transcendental position. In transcendental loving service, the servitor is as free as the Lord. The Lord is Swarat, or fully independent, and the servant is also fully independent, or Swarat, in the spiritual atmosphere, because there is no forced service. There, the transcendental loving service is due to spontaneous love. So, at the end of the purport, there's a sentence. Oh, we'll read the sentence later. First, let's talk a little bit about this. Swarat, or freedom. In one lecture, Srila Prabhupada said that actually the devotees are more free than Krishna. Krishna is not as free as the devotees. Because when Krishna comes here, then the devotees, when they're with Krishna, if they have any problem, they just go to Krishna. They have no anxiety. Just like they were walking into the mouth of Agashura. They were chanting, they were very happy, they were smiling, looking at Krishna and walking into the mouth of Agashura, no anxiety. They said, looks like a big serpent here. And this looks like a highway, but it looks like a serpent actually. But they just walked right in, no anxiety. But Krishna, he had some anxiety. Because he had to think, oh, how am I going to save my devotees? He says, but devotees have no anxiety. They're more free than Krishna. So that's what Prabhupada's comment. And someone told me, actually Srimati told me a story she heard from Dinabandhu, who tells wonderful stories when you're in Parikrama, about Balaram. That one day Balaram decided, I'm going to take the place of Krishna today. See how nice it is. He took his flute, his peacock feather, went off to the wood, to the forest without Krishna. But then all of a sudden this Denukasura demon came. This is the story of Dinabandhu. And then Balaram, he really had a hard time with that demon. And then after that, he went back to Krishna. He said, take your flute back. Take your peacock feather. I'm finished with this. You be Krishna. I'm not going to take your place anymore. So, actually, Krishna works very hard to please his devotees. Actually, it's no work. It's play. It's play for Krishna. But anyway, that's the rasa. Prabhupada said Krishna might have little anxiety, but the devotees have no anxiety. So then, let's see what the last sentence has here. Oh, this is an interesting sentence. Last sentence of purport. The devotees develop a spiritual individuality in their spontaneous service attitude, which is enhanced on and on up to the point of Madhurya Rasa, or transcendental loving service reciprocated between the lover and the beloved. So this one sentence just completely against the whole Mayavadi conception of liberation. They think that when you merge, you lose all your intelligence, you lose all your mind. And even some devotees have this conception of spiritual life. They keep this conception that real surrender means that you stop thinking, that you stop your intelligence, that you don't have any individual, you simply surrender, and that's it. But Prabhupada says, no, you develop a spiritual individuality in your spontaneous service attitude. It's not mechanical, it's not boring, it's spontaneous. So actually, how can we understand this? How do we develop our spiritual individuality at the same time we follow the instructions of the spiritual master, we follow the authority of the parampara? How can we actually reconcile these two? Yes. Prabhupada had the whole huge field. So his point is that when we The more we become Krishna conscious, then our free will expands. And when we're in Maya material consciousness, then we have limited choices. It's either this Maya or that Maya. But when we become surrendered to Krishna, there's so much variety of service, and not only variety of service, but how we can do the service. And the idea is, when you're actually absorbed in service to Krishna, then it expands more and more. You see so many different services you can do and so many different ways you can do your service and how you can please Krishna more. Anybody else have any? Yes, Prabhu. Yes, so he's remembering the verse that we had to learn, that according to the desire of the devotee, then the Lord takes the form that the devotee worships him. And then if he has a certain form, that means you have a certain service and a certain service attitude. Like if it's Ram, then you might be like Hanuman. You might have that kind of service attitude. And if it's Krishna, there might be so many different things. Of course, this is a very high level of realization when the Lord actually reveals himself in the heart. Then you see your form, just like Krishna said to Brahma, you will see your real form. You will see your real form in my association. So not only he'll see his form, he'll see Krishna too in his form, the form that he always worshipped. Okay, so we'll go to verse 34. A wonderful benediction for Lord Brahma. Since you have desire to increase the population innumerably and expand your varieties of service, you shall never be deprived in this matter, because my causeless mercy upon you will always increase for all time. So this is such a wonderful benediction, that not only will we get the mercy of the Lord, but the mercy will increase, because this is the nature of spiritual life, that nothing is static. The mercy increases the more we do our service. And we'll see what form, what shape this mercy takes, so we can understand, we can identify when we're getting the mercy of Krishna. We'll see this in a few verses, that what is the mercy? So as your service increases, your mercy increases. The mercy of Krishna expands. So another point I found here, normally we think there's only one way to increase the population, but Prabhupada is also explaining another meaning in the purport. Prabhupada says, a pure devotee of the Lord, being cognizant of the facts of the particular time, object, and circumstances, always desires to expand the number of devotees of the Lord in various ways. So this is two ways to understand how to increase the population. Actually, what kind of population do we want to increase? The suras, yes. We want to increase the devotee population. So you can do that in two ways, the hard way or the easy way. And the hard way is to have children, and the easy way is to preach. Yes. So Brahma is going to do both. He's going to have children, and he's also going to preach. But trying to preach to your own children is very difficult. So anyway, verse 35, you are the original Rishi, and because your mind is always fixed on me, even though you will be engaged in generating various progeny, the vicious mode of passion will never encroach upon you. So here again is the answer to the prayer for protection from fall down. Now, in the purport, Prabhupada talks about Lord Brahma getting bewildered. So my question is, if Brahma was given this assurance, then why was he bewildered in Brahma Vimohana Lila? When Krishna stole the calves and cowherd boys, how could Brahma get bewildered again? Prashanta. He was not bewildered by Maya, but by Mahamaya, but by Yoga Maya. Prabhupada says this in the purport. If sometimes Brahma is seen to be bewildered, as in the 10th canto, he is bewildered by seeing the action of the internal potency, and that is also for his further advancement in transcendental service. Arjuna is found to be similarly bewildered. All such bewilderment of the pure devotee of the Lord is specifically meant for their further advancement in knowledge of the Lord. So how did Brahma... Does this apply to Indra? Yeah, I think he got advancement. Or you're saying, was he actually proud, or was he... Was he in Maya? Yeah.
He wasn't the authority.
It could be. It's quite possible. Otherwise, how would we have Govardhan Lila?
Yeah. But it's all under that.
It could be, yes. It's quite possible that he was bewildered by the internal potency and became proud. And Brahma also, he thought, let me test. Let me compare. Let me see my mystic power against his. So it's kind of the same idea. It's quite possible. What blessing? Yeah, no, Indra. She's pointing out that Indra didn't have the blessing that Brahma had of protection from fall down. And Surabhi had to come to his rescue. He was afraid.
Guy was in a worse shape than,
yes, he was much worse shaped than Brahma, and he had to hide behind one of the mothers. He brought the mother cow in front of him to beg for, by the mercy of the devotee, you get the blessings of Krishna. So she begged for mercy for Indra, so he was forgiven from his offense. So sometimes kids do that. They get their mothers, you know, they go and offend somebody, and then they bring their mother over to talk to the person. They hide behind their mothers, and then the mother has to get into it. So Indra, he hid behind Surabhi, so that Krishna would not get the full blast of Krishna on him. And so Krishna softened. He figured, yes, this will soften Krishna, seeing Mother Surabhi here. So Surabhi Kunj at Govardhan, it's very, very special. If you want to get free from offenses to the Lord and devotees, you go to Surabhi Kunj. Yes, Surabhi. So in the verse, Prabhupada quotes a verse from the second canto in this purport. And that verse is actually, I found it's verse 37 instead of 36. There appears to be a mistake. It's 2.9.37 that the Lord says to Brahma, O Brahma, just follow this conclusion by fixed concentration of mind, and no pride will disturb you, neither in the partial nor the final devastation. So the key words in his benediction are fixed concentration of mind. Follow this conclusion. The conclusion was the Chatushloki. The conclusion. So what's the conclusion of Chatushloki? Three words. You can tell what is the conclusion. Sanskrit words. Yeah, that's a good conclusion. But we want to also put ourselves in the picture. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What about the rest of us? We're also in part of the Absolute Truth. Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. This is the conclusion of the Chatushloki. So always be fixed on this conclusion. What is our relationship with Krishna? How can I serve him in that relationship? And always aim for the goal of pure love of Krishna. So this is a conclusion that he advised Brahma, you be fixed in this conclusion. Verse 36, although I am not easily knowable by the conditioned soul, you have known me today because you know that my personality is not constituted of anything material, and specifically not of the five gross and three subtle elements. 37, when you were contemplating whether there was a source to the stem of the lotus of your birth, and you even entered into that stem, you could not trace out anything. But at that time, I manifested my form from within. So what form was that? Within the lotus. Did he see form of the Lord? In the lotus? Virat, you say Virat. Nishinga says, and she's showing me a picture there. No, well, this is when he went down in the stem and he couldn't find his source. This is what Krishna is saying here. You went down in the stem, now he's in the stem, you can't, and he couldn't find his source. Nishinga Devi, what happened? You say you didn't see, you say he didn't see. Okay, actually, what form was it? Krishna, yeah, but, no. Okay. Now we're in the stem of a lotus, okay? We're down in the stem. In the form of death, okay? We have an opinion here that he saw Krishna in the form of death. That's also true. But actually there's another form that we're all missing, and that is the form of sound. And Krishna came in the form of sound, tapa. No, he was inside. He was down also, as far as I understand. If you read second canto, he was down inside the stem and then he heard the word tapa. And then he came back up. Yes. So in the form of sound, this is a very important form of the Lord, which we are actually experiencing in this class, the Lord in the form of sound. Sound incarnation of Lord Krishna. So within, he heard the sound of tapa within, as Kavi Karnapur also rightly said, it was within his heart that he heard the sound, tapa. And there, then he went back up and he followed that instruction of the Lord. So verse 38, Sanskrit. Yat chakartanga matsta brahma katavya tayankitam yadva tapasite nishta sesha maranugaha. O Brahma, the prayers that you have chanted, praising the glories of my transcendental activities, the penances you have undertaken to understand me, and your firm faith in me, all these are to be considered my causeless mercy. So what is the mercy in Sanskrit? Three things. This is the mercy that Brahma had from the Lord. He said, if you see these three things, then you know you have my mercy. In Matstotram, okay, prayers, your prayers. Yeah, that's part of Makata, yes. Matstotram is Makata. There's two more. Tapasi, again tapa. Tapa is so important. Tapa is, by tapa he creates. By tapa you can get the mercy, and tapa is the mercy. Tapa, what is this tapa? Tapo divyam putaka yena shidyet. This devotional service, this is the mercy, this is our austerity, our devotional service, tapa. So we got tapa, we got matstotram, prayers. Prayers are the mercy, your prayers and your austerity and devotional service. This is my mercy on you. And one more thing.
Nishta.
Nishta, yes. Yes, the attitude. The attitude, nishta. Your faith in me. This is my mercy on you. So we can know if we have the mercy of Krishna by according to our faith. If we have faith, Krishna is our protector. Krishna is our master. He will take care. He will satisfy. If I simply engage in devotional service, shraddha shabde vishwaskohe, sudhido nishchai, Krishna bhakti kvaila, sarva karma kritavai. If I simply engage in devotional service, then everything will be fulfilled. Prabhupada says in the purport, when a living entity desires to serve the Lord in transcendental loving service, the Lord helps the devotee in so many ways as Chaita Guru, or the spiritual master within, and thus the devotee can perform many wonderful activities beyond material estimation. By the mercy of the Lord, even a layman can compose prayers of the highest spiritual perfection. Such spiritual perfection is not limited by material qualifications, but is developed by dint of one's sincere endeavor to render transcendental service. So here are key words in the purport by Prabhupada, sincere endeavor, and again the next sentence, voluntary endeavor is the only qualification for spiritual perfection. So Prabhupada says it's our endeavor. Krishna says it's our faith, it's our austerity, and that austerity, tapasi, that it's includes sincere endeavor. Sincere endeavor is tapasi and matstotram, prayers. So Prabhupada is giving us only one thing. He's making it easy for us. Voluntary endeavor. Prabhupada is just saying this one thing. Of course, that's devotional service. Material acquisitions of wealth or education are not considered. So we cannot bribe Krishna. He's got everything. What can we do? What can we give to Krishna? Except one thing he doesn't have that he wants. Our love. This is what we're keeping behind. I'll give you anything, but not myself, not my love. But this is what he wants. So he's looking for body, mind, and words. This prayers. I had actually my realization on this mercy. He said it can be manifest in three different ways, by body, by mind, and by words. So I kind of saw a connection there between prayers, penance, and faith. But of course, penance can be body, mind, or words. But prayers is usually words, and faith is your mind, your consciousness. So we are, Krishna here is giving mercy. What is the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Nityananda? What mercy did Krishna give as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? What is his mercy? The holy name. Yes. And what did Lord Chaitanya give that no other incarnation ever gave before?
Pure love.
Pure love, yes. Pure love of Krishna. Pure love. Madhurya Ras. The highest. So this is the mercy. Mercy's coming. We just have to accept it. As Prabhupada says, the mixed devotees are reluctant to accept the mercy of Krishna. This is in one purport of Queen Kunti's prayers. It says the mixed devotees, they're reluctant to receive the mercy. But the pure devotees, they accept 100% mercy of the Lord. So let's read verse 39. I am very much pleased by your description of me in terms of my transcendental qualities, which appear mundane to the mundaners. I grant you all benedictions in your desire to glorify all the planets by your activities. So he's giving benedictions to Brahma so he can be successful in glorifying him. So Prabhupada, we can see how successful Prabhupada was in glorifying Krishna. What are the signs we see? Hare Krishna is a household word. We see new words added to the dictionary because of Srila Prabhupada. Like karma, I don't think karma was there before Prabhupada came. And now it's an English word, karma. Yoga was there. There were many yogis who came to America. And I think guru was there. But karma, that's a new one. So many signs we can see how Prabhupada changed, how Prabhupada was successful in glorifying Krishna. What are some other signs? Are you scratching your head, Patri? Okay. Maharaja Puri. There's still some grass on the planet today because of Sankirtan. And there's still some rain on the planet. Nishinga Devi, what's some sign of Prabhupada's success? More devotees. Okay, that's a sign. Actually, I saw a sign when I went to London last time. I couldn't believe it. All this huge section for vegetarian foods. It's a huge section in the supermarket. How many? I heard a lot of people are vegetarian in London, isn't it? Or in the UK. So, you know percentage? Or you don't know? More than?
More than 1 million. More than in Bangladesh.
More than in?
Bangladesh.
Bangladesh. More vegetarians in England than in Bangladesh. More than 1 million.
So I'm not sure in London only or in the UK.
Okay, in London, yes.
More than 1 million.
It's a big percentage now are vegetarian. And this was unheard of. Before I became a devotee, if you were a vegetarian, they thought you're crazy. Something wrong with you. What's wrong with you? You know?
I can't remember.
Good George Harrison?
No. The other one, the singer.
Oh.
Paul McCartney.
Oh, Paul McCartney.
His wife.
Yes. Okay, so he's... Of course, they met Prabhupada also. And Prabhupada, he actually inspired these Beatles, George Harrison especially, and also he had conversations with John Lennon. So they all had association with Srila Prabhupada. So somehow or other, the mercy is expanding. And these are just signs of what Prabhupada's appearance has done to this earth. Just signs of his appearance. I think also the Russia getting liberated too. Yes, Patri. Like crazy, yeah. Yogis. Yeah, they put the yogis and devotees in prison and the crazy house. Yes.
Prestigious now.
Yes. So now, because of the devotees in Russia, it's become acceptable to think like that. Professor Katovsky, when he met Prabhupada, he said, Swamiji, after this life, there's nothing.
This is a very nice point.
A very nice point from Pachi.
Putin is president of recently in Germany.
Putin.
He was asked because it was like a picnic or whatever party.
Putin was in Germany recently.
Yes, and he was asked by journalists, is it party? Do you not drink any wine or said, I'm not drinking of Swami, I'm Krishna.
I'm Krishna.
Yeah, I'm Krishna. So just he was joking, but I am Hare Krishna.
Oh. So Putin was joking. When the reporter asked him, do you drink? And he says, no, I'm Hare Krishna. I don't drink. But even to joke like that for a world leader is quite something.
And Prabhupada is saying that he is celebrating his birthday in vegetarian restaurant.
He's celebrating his... Yeah, actually, he's. It sounds like he's an undercover devotee to me. So I'm not so undercover. Yes. Now, before, at the beginning, no one believed reincarnation. America also.
But now, what you're saying, I know it.
I already know about this reincarnation. What are you talking
about? Reincarnation, I know it. And also the words of karma.
Karma.
Guru, we have in Russian language.
You have in Russian. It's also become part of the Russian language. Guru and karma. These are signs of Prabhupada's success. Okay, I'll take her first.
Every year in London,
in Buckingham Palace. Okay, now we're going to Buckingham Palace from Moscow. Interfaith meeting. They always invite the devotees. From Her Majesty the Queen, devotees get the invitation. Yes. Okay. So they were, okay, so one devotee was having conversation with Prince Charles, and she was saying that, you know, you have to be tolerant now these days. It's very, you know, society is so bad. And Prince Charles said, yes, just like the Pandavas. They're a good example of tolerance. So, you see, Prabhupada has done amazing things just by his presence on this earth. Yes.
And in Krishna himself is known now.
Yeah. Krishna is known all over the world. Yes. People know Krishna. Yeah, my medicine bottle, of course, it's a devotee company. It says Blue Boy Medicines. And there's a picture of Krishna on there, some in America, it's some company, natural medicines. Yeah, so I was so surprised. Blue Boy Medicine. Anyway, it's going on. These things are going on.
Cosmetics, they also have...
Cosmetics. Why not? Krishna is the most beautiful. You want to be like beautiful like Krishna.
Haribo. There's one candy brand. Haribo.
Candy. Haribo.
And the devotee behind.
Yes, devotee behind.
He calls his brand is candy Haribo.
Haribo. Yes. So, just see what's happening to this world since Prabhupada came. It's unlimited. It's expanding. Yes. Now there's only one thing that's missing. One thing is missing, and that is that, see, there's a transcendental competition that Prabhupada, the devotee, they always try to glorify Krishna. And Krishna, now, he likes to glorify the devotee. So now Krishna has to do something to glorify Srila Prabhupada more, so the whole world knows who is Srila Prabhupada. So this is the next step, I think, that will happen is, yes, Oxford's encyclopedia. A Sanskrit scholar, okay, in the encyclopedia, it is, Oxford Encyclopedia, it says that ISKCON was founded by a Sanskrit scholar from Calcutta, India. Yes, and much more. Yes, so that's nice. Anyway, this going on. Okay, so now Rama got his benediction, now we're going to get our benediction for patiently coming to all the classes and listening. Verse 40. Of course, there is a qualification. You have to be a human being. Prabhupada says, any human being who prays like Brahma and who thus worships me shall very soon be blessed with the fulfillment of all his desires, for I am the Lord of all benedictions. So Krishna is Vareshwara. He's going to give us sarva kama, all our desires. So does that mean we're going to become the richest, most learned, most beautiful, most famous person in the world? If we say these prayers to Krishna? Yes. Satyavati says yes. Prashanta?
Desires for service.
Desires for service. Okay, and Madhavendra Puri, you agree?
What can I say? The same goes to the devotee, to the most devotee.
Yes, who is the most famous? It's the devotee, actually. If you simply become a devotee, then these things will be serving you like your servants. Of course, I haven't experienced it yet, but anyway, time is there. We haven't become devotees yet, that's the problem. So anyway, but sarva kama is not that you become richest and beautiful, Prabhupada says in the purport, the prayers offered by Brahma, of course, that also comes. You can be the most rich. And these are actually, these are offered to the devotee. Everything is offered, but you have a choice what to do with it. You can become a millionaire or you can serve Krishna with everything that happened. That Krishna, and some people say, yes, this is Krishna's mercy. I got all this money, now I can go outside and be independent, or else, or do my own thing, or, you know, anyway, things come to devotees, and you always have the choice what to do with it. So you can use it for your pleasure, you can use it for Krishna's pleasure. Now, this is the point, Prabhupada says. But actually, these prayers are not for non-devotees or casual devotees. These prayers are for real devotees. Because you may just get more service. You may not get all these material things. You might just get more service. Krishna may take away everything from you. And may the opposite may happen when you get the mercy. So this is what Prabhupada says here. These prayers can be prayed only by someone who wants to increase his service. So Prabhupada has informed us what we should desire. And now Krishna will inform us what is the should be the real goal of our endeavors. Or he says, you must do it like this, but now he's quoting from the authorities. He does that in Bhagavad Gita too. Yes, the authorities, the great seers have said like this. So now he's saying, he's quoting the expert transcendentalists. It is the opinion of expert transcendentalists that the ultimate goal of performing all traditional good works, penances, sacrifices, charities, mystic activities, trances, etc., is to invoke my satisfaction. So Krishna is being really humble here. Actually, he's saying, you should please me. But he's not saying it directly. He's saying, you know, they're saying, all these expert transcendentalists, they're saying, you should please me. That's the goal. Of all their activities, their jnana, their karma, their yajna, their tapa, everything is to please me. He's not saying, just please me. You know, this is Krishna. He's speaking indirectly here. But he's saying, actually, please me. And this is the best thing. The secret of success, Prabhupada tells us in the purport, at the end of the purport, one's only concern should be to satisfy the Lord by one's activities. If the Lord is satisfied by an action, whatever it may be, then it is successful. Otherwise, it is simply a waste of time. That is the standard of all sacrifice, penance, austerity, mystic trance, and other good and pious work. Verse 42. I am the super soul of every individual. I am the supreme director and the dearest. People are wrongly attached to the gross and subtle bodies, but they should be attached to me only. So now he's giving his opinion. He says, why? Why they're attached to these other things? They should just be attached to me. So Prabhupada explains why in the first paragraph. Everybody should be attached to Krishna because we're all part of Krishna. We all have relationship with Krishna. He's the dearmost. He is our best well-wisher. So then Prabhupada says at the end of the first paragraph, last sentence, one cannot factually love anything unless he's fully developed in loving service of the Lord. In the present verse, this is paragraph 2, stress is given to focusing love upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The word kriyat is significant here. This means one must have it. So this is prema, prayojan. Prayojan means necessity. It's something you cannot live without. It's something you must have. Not all the other things we think we must have. In this world, we're thinking externally, we see, I need money, I need this, I need that. But actually, there's only one thing we must have, and that is love, attachment to Krishna. Prabhupada says, it is just to stress we must have more and more attachment to the principle of love. So Prabhupada explains why the Mayavadis cannot approach the super soul. What's their problem? What do they lack? Why can't the Mayavadis appreciate? Yes, Prashanta.
Because they don't have that love.
They don't have affection for the Lord. There, Prabhupada compares the Mayavadis to a miser. A miser, what does a miser do? A rich miser at that. Somebody who has a lot of money.
He holds it.
He holds it. He doesn't spend. He doesn't use it properly. So what do the Mayavadis do? They have. They have realization. They have a lot of realization. but they're not spending it. They're not they're misusing their realization. They're not engaging. They know I am spirit, but they're misusing it because they don't act as spirit. They simply react to the material world. I'm not this, I'm not that, I'm not this, I'm spirit. So their idea of spirit is not this and not that and not that. But actually, what is real spirit? If you're soul, if you're soul, then what to do as soul? Serve Krishna. So they're rich misers. They misuse their realization. Prabhupada gives the example of the sun also, that without possessing, this is in the third paragraph near the top, without possessing affection for the sun, the eyes cannot bear the rays of the sun. Such eyes have no capacity to understand the utility of the sun's rays. Similarly, the empiric philosophers, despite their theoretical knowledge of Brahman, cannot utilize the mercy of Supreme Brahman because they lack affection. So many impersonal philosophers remain everlastingly under the influence of Maya. So this is very unfortunate that they're so close. They have Brahman, they have Brahman realization, but they miss one thing, and that's the mercy of the Lord. In the Brahman, there's no mercy. And that's why devotees think it's hell. For the devotee, Brahman is hell. No mercy, no love, no relationship with Krishna. So this is, I hope you read the purport. It's a very beautiful purport. So Prabhupada at the end, in the last sentence, he sums it up. In all circumstances, one should try to develop love of Godhead, and that will solve all contending problems. So we have many, many problems in this world. But this is the only thing that's going to solve the problems, if we develop love of God. How can love of God solve the problems? People are thinking, no, we need this, we need that. This will help solve the problems. Anything but Krishna consciousness. But how, what we say, we believe this. So, yeah, Manan Gopal?
One experience with a sense of satisfaction.
Okay. Well, it will solve your personal problem. You'll get some complete sense of satisfaction. Yes. If you have, it'll solve all your problems. Just like Prahlad says, I have no problem. I'm satisfied just chanting Hare Krishna. Under the puri.
Because we're surrounding it, all of us throw the stone at the same.
Okay, you throw the stone
in the lake.
In the middle.
It doesn't create overlapping ripples.
Okay. Yes, Prashanta. Yeah, because God is one.
Yeah.
So if we all are directed towards Krishna, then we won't create ripples. It'll be all in the same center. Prashanta.
Yeah, enjoying the world.
Yes. If we're satisfied, then what do we need? Then there's no fight. No one's going to fight with you because you don't want anything they have. No envy. Yes, Prashanta. Parvati. Oh, this is a wonderful realization that this lack of anxiety, if you realize Krishna is in control. Now, it's easier said than done. Krishna is in control, so I don't have to worry, right? I don't have to fight. I don't have to get into these problems anymore. What a realization, see? It's up to Krishna. My problem is Krishna's problem. Yes. Prabhupada said that. He said that in a lecture when about Bombay. There was so much fight and so much problem. And he says, yes, but actually, we don't worry. It's Krishna's problem. Krishna is going to take care of this. And Krishna did. He took good care of. And so they got the Bombay temple. And so, yes. Because if you have your relationship with Krishna, if you're just an instrument, what problem do you have? You're the instrument. It's the person who is using the instrument, he's got the problem. Right? If you use a stick to beat someone, then who's to blame? The stick or you? Right, so this is how it is. We're the instrument. We say, no, of course, we can't do anything whimsically and then say, no, it was God. Krishna did it. And this happens in the material world often. They say, no, God made me do it. No, we can't do that. Yes. Prashanta. Yes, we get the qualities. Yes, we're connected with Krishna. So it's a wonderful thing. Yoga means to connect with Krishna, bhakti yoga. So we develop all good qualities. Okay, so last two verses. By following my instructions, you can now generate the living entities as before by dint of your complete Vedic wisdom and the body you have directly received from me, the supreme cause of everything. Verse 44. The sage Maitreya said, after instructing Brahma, the creator of the universe, to expand, the primeval Lord, personality of Godhead, in his personal form as Narayan, disappeared. So our Lord is giving blessings to preach his message after increasing the population. He's pleased with his prayers, begging for empowerment. So he pacifies Brahma, telling him, don't worry. And Krishna says, Masu cha, why you worry? Everything is already done by my arrangement. We can just be his instruments. So Prabhupada says, we just have to have our voluntary, sincere endeavor, and then we'll get all perfection. So any questions or comments more on this, on these verses? Marangopal Prabhu. Verse 36. Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of questionable, huh? I was thinking about that. Verse 36, I wrote up their qualifications, but the verse doesn't actually tell you that. What are the qualifications? To know Krishna. Although I am not easily knowable, you have known me because, well, actually something is there. That because you know my personality is not constituted of anything material, and specifically not of the five gross and three subtle elements. So, yeah, what I was thinking of when I wrote that, qualifications to know Krishna, is that the devotee, he understands the form of the Lord, that we accept the form of the Lord as transcendental. If we have that acceptance, if Krishna's form is transcendental, then we can know him, and we can understand him. Also in Bhagavad Gita, this is confirmed, that anyone who, you know that verse, janma karma chame divyam evam yo viti tatvataha, anyone who understands the transcendental nature of my birth and activities, he does not again take birth in this world. No birth for him. If you understand Krishna's birth, no more birth for you. And so that's for Bhagavad Gita 4.9. Yeah, so that's what I had in mind, that if, and I should have explained that. I was going to explain that. Thank you for bringing that up. That the qualification is that we know that the form of the Lord is transcendental, and then we can understand Krishna. We can know Krishna. Yes, Madhavan Puri.
In 29.
Yes. 2930, I said, I think. Or 2932, was it? How am I cause this mercy?
So this is the
cross reference. Okay, so he's giving us a very nice cross reference here for verse 29, 2932, where Lord previously said to Brahma, that let everything be awakened, let this realization be awakened within you by my causeless mercy. That's a nice cross reference. Chardeshna? Question? 27 and 28. Yeah. So there's three modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance. And actually Prabhupada describes this in another place, I think even more elaborately. In the seventh canto, when Prahlad Maharaj is talking about the nine processes of devotional service. Anyway, there's three modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance. So then if you mix three times three, then you have somebody who's in goodness with a little passion and a little ignorance. Then you have somebody who's in goodness with a lot of passion and a little ignorance. So then it can just go on multiplying like that. And you have somebody who's in goodness with a lot of ignorance and a little passion. So then you have somebody who's in passion with a lot of goodness and a little ignorance, and it just goes on multiplying like that. If you keep mixing them. Then you have somebody who's in goodness and passion with a little ignorance and more, you know, just goes on and on like that.
Like the colors,
red, yeah,
yellow,
and blue.
Green.
Blue. Red, yellow, blue. Yeah, so then you just keep getting these different mixtures of the modes until now you have Kali Yuga where you can't even tell what mode you're in. Because there's so many mixtures of the modes. Just to figure out what is your swarupa, materially speaking, is very difficult in this age of Kali. Before it was very simple. Hare Krishna, come in.
whoever you may be. Oh, Hare Krishna. Jai, welcome, Vrajabihari Prabhu. Talking about the mixtures of the modes.
The what?
Modes. Mixtures of the modes.
I know John.
Oh, he's very fortunate.
When is your class over?
11 o'clock. 10 more minutes. You want to steal something from the microphone or?
No, I'll ask for something else and then maybe I'll make notes.
Okay, fine.
See you.
Haribo. Thank you, Vrajabihari Prabhu. So he's a very fortunate person in this age of Kali. He knows which mode he's in. We are not so fortunate. We're so mixed in this age of Kali. Any other questions or comments? Right.
Like a child. Or...
Okay, so I'll put your problem to the class.
How to develop love to God?
Okay, so
some progress of love to God.
Satyavati has a problem. And she's saying that simply by study, all these memorizing and pushing yourself, you cannot develop love for God. And so she's wondering what to do. That what is the actual process for developing love of God? Is it by studying and pushing and what is the answer to this question? Madan Gopal. Oh, yes. We will quote Madhavendra Puri. So if you have any... yes. Madhavendra Puri Prabhu, you have an answer. No, it's Madang. Okay, we'll wait till you guys decide. Parvati will tell you. She's not afraid.
We just read prayer, penance, and faith.
Prayer, penance, and faith. Tapasi, nishta, and matstotram. So, try these three things. This is the mercy, how to get the love.
Some
no, don't memorize. You say your own prayers. Yeah, okay. Patri wants to say something. Okay, let him speak. Okay. He says, we see great scholars. They didn't get the mercy. We see great yogis. They didn't get the mercy. Yes, what do we see, Patri?
We can see it.
Just to be brief, because we only have 6 minutes. Das, das, anu, das. Okay? Yes. Yes. Okay, Patri is saying that the mood is that we should become last. Das, das, anu, das. If we have the feeling, I'm going to be first, I'm going to memorize the most verses, I am going to be the most austere, doing charamasya and so many things, then this is not the way. You cannot force yourself into Vaikuntha by your tapasya or by your prayers or different things. No, you can't force Krishna to love you. He is not impressed. That will not impress him. He will be... Yes. But he will be impressed when you take this attitude, like Patri said. Das, das, ananda. You serve his devotees. They will be impressed. Arvind Puri?
Yeah, what he's saying actually is Gita.
Gita. Gita Raga Bhaya Krodha Manmaya. Yes.
Being free from attachment.
Being free from attachment, fear, and anger. Yes, so this is the way given in Gita.
Attachment, fear, and anger.
Yes, these are pitfalls. Yeah, so, and this purport, if you read 4.10, it's very wonderful too. Prabhupada explains, these are problems in our devotional service and how to go beyond these pitfalls, Prabhupada shows. But the essence is, of course, what Patri said, Das, Das, Anudas, and Lord Chaitanya, Trinadapi. You want to get to Nishta, this is Nishta, this verse. Trinadapi, Sunichena, Torariva, Sahishina, Amanina, Manadena, Kitanaya, Sadahari. This is Nishta. You can come to the level of Nishta if you have this attitude. Lord Chaitanya says, this is Nishta. Then Nadhanam, Najanam, Nasundarin, Ruchi. When you give up the lower taste, you can get the higher taste for service. But the way is serving the devotees. And there's no other way. We heard before in one purport, the super soul, he's in the heart of the non-devotees, but the mercy is coming from the devotees. That's where the mercy, Prabhupada said. Prabhupada said in the purport, the mercy, it's only coming through the devotees. You can't approach the Lord directly, and you shouldn't think you can approach the Lord directly. You cannot blast your way into the spiritual world by your tapasya or by your memorization or by all these things. It's by your service attitude. That's what Prabhupada said. This is our real self, service attitude. Prashanta. No, we didn't skip. We did, yes. Prabhupada just put the stress on love of God. Yes, some book distributors were asking Prabhupada, you know, how can we increase our book distribution, or how can we, what would please you the most? You just develop love for Krishna. At the manor. Okay, you just develop love for Krishna. So simple. So simple. And how to do it? By serving the devotees of Krishna. That will please him the quickest. Not something you... Actually, the yogis and the gyanis, they feel it's by my power. I am achieving everything. By my power. And so that's... We keep that mentality when we become devotees. By my power, I have such a strong sadhana. I am chanting. I am studying. I'm doing all these things. But actually, what power do we have? Because Krishna can take it away in a second. In a second. We must all have that experience. I have experienced my memory, good memory I have. In a second it was gone. So we can, these things we can't, it's given by Krishna, it's gifts by Krishna, it's his mercy. It's not coming from us. It's not our possession. We use in Krishna's service. Any other comments or questions? All glories to Srila Prabhupada.